Hey, cuzzo, we on.
I don't bang, but I rap for the 12 stones.
Shalom, shalom, everybody out there. All right, we here with the first episode of Cuzzo and Cuzzo, right? So today we have a special guest, right? But before we introduce him and get into that, you know, I want to give a few words out there. So this is Cuzzo and Cuzzo. This is a podcast for men, by men, all right? We're not here to bash our brothers. We're not here to talk down on them. We're here to give them game. We're here to help them understand who they are as men, as leaders, and as kings in this world. Show them that you're much more than what you think you are. Just like in my case, I had to be talked to a lot just to understand who I am. And the person who actually did that for me was my wife. My wife had to speak into me. So now, at the age I am now, I'm starting to realize who I am. I'm starting to realize what I need to do and how I need to be on my game as a man, and as a father, and as a leader of the household. So that's what we're here to do on this podcast, and that's what we're here to do today. So the topic is, are we on our game as men? So the guest I have today is none other than my boy, Ashaya.
All praise to the Most High, all praises, shalom, family. It's an honor to be here on my brother's podcast. I appreciate him for having me. You know, I used to dream of days like this. To be on a podcast, man, and enrich someone else. Each one teach one. You know, that's the philosophy ultimately, as an evangelist, as a believer in Christ, is to reach somebody and hopefully bring them into repentance. So my name is Ashaya Walk. I'm from Chattanooga, Tennessee. That's where I reside. That's where I was born and raised. Currently a part of my organization, Believers of the Way, headquartered in Los Angeles, California. 25 years old.
Damn, 25?
Male, according to the system. Yeah, 25. 25 years old. I have a wife, two daughters, one on the way. So family man, you know, been in this walk of life going on about 5 years in January. All praise to the Most High.
All praise.
Yeah, man. I'm just a humble servant of God.
Yeah. So just like he said, man, all praise to the Most High. Now, this is the thing. Here in this podcast, it revolves around the Father, God, you know, Yahweh, what they call it, Ashaya, you know, Ahaya, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoever, however you may call him, just know, let's just, you know, you reverencing the Father. We all in the same walk. And that's who this podcast is built around, the Father. So that's what we like. If we need to bring out biblical scripture, anything dealing with the Most High, that's just what we're gonna do, because that's what we're about in this walk. Okay. So like, now I see, like, on the TikToks, Instagrams, men, right? Mm-hmm. How is most of the generation going into leadership, right?
Mm-hmm. So I think it's a lack thereof of leadership. So especially I would say now, just, you know, from what I've seen with my own two eyes, I don't think men want to be leaders anymore. I don't think that men have anything to aspire for, just due to the culture that America has created around men. America is effeminizing men in general.
Mm-hmm.
They're putting chemicals in the food to lower your testosterone.
Yeah.
There's a chemical on receipt paper that disrupts your endocrine system, which is what regulates you producing certain hormones, aka testosterone. They chemtrail the air.
Yeah. I just seen that yesterday.
You know, so the powers that be, are doing everything they can to remove the man entirely out of the way. That is what we see with this LGBTQ/transsexual movement.
Yeah, man.
You know, they're looking to destroy the male identity. What is a yeah. man? What is a woman? I never mm-hmm. thought I would see today when we were questioning what is scientifically already given as a definition. just over time, through different things in history coming to pass and transpire, we've gradually removed men out of the households, mm-hmm. out of the family structure, which is the foundation of a nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's the family.
Okay.
So if you're moving a man out of the family structure, then you're having children that are growing up without a male father figure, a male role model in general, mm-hmm. that's very important for a nation. Not that a woman isn't, because they are just as important. But the man, moving the man out of the situation, you remove the garrison, so to say, the front line, the protectors, the leaders, the guiders, the teachers,
mm-hmm.
Out of the way. And once you do that, then the women and children are fair game. That's in the art of war.
Okay.
You kill the man first.
Okay.
Then you go in and you ransack the city and you get the women, children, and elders. So it's a huge agenda to remove the man completely out of the way.
Yeah.
And they understand that. And this is what we're trying to get our women to understand as well, that if we get moved out of the way, you're fair game. There's nothing, you're not going to be able to fight back.
Exactly. And that's what they're going through now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The women run, not, I wouldn't say run the man from the home, but the government, as they got child support, food stamps, they got living assistance. So it's like, hey, I don't need a man if I'm getting all this and I can take care of my own kids. So that's where the boy, the man, the leader comes in at, and we don't have that anymore. So that's what leads, like, okay, are we being leaders? Are we, or are we depending on the woman?
Bingo.
You know what I'm saying? Again,
not to cut you off, but no. Yeah, that's that subconscious reliability on, because, you know, a lot of times our women say they don't need a man, but they are subconsciously relying on another man.
That's true. That's true.
Just to make it plain.
That's true.
The government, he is the one that is taking care of you. All the mm-hmm. government assistance you're receiving, SNAP, EBT, Section 8, that's coming from another man.
Yeah, true. True.
You're just not relying on the man that actually cares.
Yeah, that's in your vicinity. That's right, physically. So that's why, now, being a leader or depending on her, now I can say, and I want to speak truthfully here, I was that way. I was depending on a woman, because being born and raised in Miami is very hard. Like, you can't even get a job. A job down there, if you had experience, was $10, but without, it's $750. You know, I know it changed a lot, but since I was in my 20s, but when the recession hit, that was the worst time ever, because you couldn't find a job, you couldn't find anything. But when you have a woman tell you, hey, it's okay, don't worry about it, I got you. Hey, it's like constantly reassuring you that it's okay. You kind of slack. You kind of not on your game. You kind of like, oh, she said it's cool. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to stay home and watch the baby. And then when she come home, I can go ahead and take off and do what I need to do. So that's what I was doing. When she come home, I'm like, hey, I watched my son all day. I'm going to go to the studio now. Mm-hmm. But I was going to the studio to do nothing, to just sit there. That's the thing. And because I would write, but my brother at the time was working with many different artists, so I couldn't even get in. Mm-hmm. So what I was doing at the studio, smoking black cigarettes and drinking. Mm-hmm. So I was always depending on her to put gas in my car, to give me food to eat, to just really rely on her and not step in as a man to do what I need to do. Mm-hmm. So that's why I know I messed up at as a man. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you had a similar story or
so me, it was a little bit different. So when I mm-hmm. when I moved out of my grandparents' house when I was 20 years old. August of 2020, you know, that would have made me 19. So I moved out when I was 19 years old from my grandparents' house. When I moved out on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Initially I had plans to move in with my wife at the time, but I said, I switched it up on the last minute. I'm like, nah, we ain't doing that. I need to know I can do this on my own. And I was just some, you know, my father, he instilled in me and my brother from a young age, you need to be able to get it on your own. As a man, you need to be able to hold your own on your own 2 feet, no matter what's going on in your life. You need to be able to know that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up moving out August of 2020 into my home. I stayed here by myself for a little while just to see, you know, I can do it. I can pay my own bills. I can handle my bills. I can handle food, you know, internet, the whole nine. I just need to know I can do it
for myself. Yeah.
I was still with my now wife on and off during that time. But I was pretty much just saying to myself, like, I told myself, I actually prayed for the Most High to allow me to have a situation where I can move into my own space so I can worship Him in sincerity and in truth. Because in my grandparents' house, they're Christian pastors. And when I first came into the truth, you know that initial zeal. I mean, you know me. You know how I am. At that time, I was a lot more fiery. I was not as mild. The experience I have has made me now. I was bumping heads with them a lot. You know, just the initial feeling of, you know, the lies, the deceit, just the lack of knowledge. You know, you just feel kind of bad that you went through your whole life destroying yourself when the information was right in front of your face. That would have changed your whole perspective on life. So I was going through that with my grandparents, and I still love my grandparents to this day. But you know, at the time, I was just really bumping heads with them heavy, and I'm like, I can't be in this house. I need my own space so I can keep the commandments, kind of like it says in 2 Esther 13, when the 10 tribes left the Assyrian captivity and came over to Arsareth, America, to worship the Most High, and not have to deal with oppression. You know, that's just how I was in my bag. And then when I moved in, I ain't looked back since. Like, I now, fast forward to today, I'm the sole provider of my house. I pay all the bills, and, you know, maintain the crib. But that's just me. I never wanted to be in a position. This is my father. Like, he was hammering into me and my brother. You never move into a crib with another woman. You never let a woman take care of you. Not anything against my brother, Malika Shah.
No. We all had different paths. There ain't no pressure, man. I'm an example.
This is my dad. You know, he was very adamant about, brother, you are a man. You are the one that moved them in with you. You are the one that controls the narrative and what you got going on in your house. You set the tone. You set the temperature. So, I was always like, it's me. Like, I can hold it on my back. You know, I'm going to have to do it as a man. Not to say that she hasn't helped me, because she has at various different times. Helped me with bills. Helped me with whatever I needed, if I needed a computer, you know, little accessory things. He stepped in and helped me out, but for the most part, I was holding it down.
So how can you, through it all, how can you say that shaped you as a man today?
It definitely made me I don't like the toot my own horn, but it just is what it is. It really made me a young general, you know what I mean? That's why I am, today, you know, the job I have, the responsibilities I have within my organization, our organization, you know, it's because I made it a point in my life to be a leader. And I wanted to be an example for other young men to look up to and aspire to be like. Like I said, I have a younger brother and I have a father. I have a lot of very, very powerful male role models that shaped me and had a form in shaping me. My uncle, Margo Pee Wee, my grandfather, even in our differences, my grandfather loved me to death. He taught me so much and gave me so much wisdom. And just, you know, something to look up to. My grandfather, he's the sole provider. He was the one holding it down. Right? You know, traditional household. I saw that when my grandfather, my grandmother, my uncle, he's a made man, six-figure man. I saw these things. You know, my father, traditional household, a general. So it was just like, bro, this is what I see. This is what I gotta be. You know what I mean? So, you know, it just shaped me. And I'm still young. I'm still growing. I don't even feel like I didn't hit my stride yet. You know what I mean? So all praise to the Most High. It made me responsible. It forced me to have accountability. Myself accountable. My father never allowed me to have what we call "woe is me" parties. Always, if I came to my pops with a problem, he would listen to me, he'd give me my advice, and he'd be like, "All right, son, so what you gonna do? So what's up now? You got it out, you got it off your chest, now what?"
That's true, man.
That's just how, you know, That's why I do the same thing with my brother. That's just how I am. Like, bro, I'm not gonna sit here and let you wallow away in your sorrow. You're a man. Okay, now what? If you fall, if I fall, my whole family crumbles, bro.
And that's the thing with my wife. That's what she was telling me. She was like, look, I'm not saying you can't feel nothing, but, you know, feel it and move on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be the leader of the household in your emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing about us, because we weren't coddled as we were young growing up, especially if we had the fathers who they were. You know, we couldn't cry. We couldn't do any of that because of how they handled us. So as we get older, we're able to cry. We're able to be in our emotions, but still don't know how to handle that as a man. So she had to sit me down and like, okay, look here, man. I understand you and your shit, but it's time to get the ball moving now. Like, you know, pull out a couple scriptures, get strong in it, and let's move on now. So I can say, you know, in my feelings, I'm like, man, she don't care, man. I can't. She don't care about me, man. She's so mean. She this, but now understanding of what she was doing. She's building me up to be a man, to be a king, to be a leader of the household of how I need to be.
And big ups to your wife, man. It takes a strong woman in today's time and a solid woman.
Yeah. Yes.
Really. Hold it down and be like, you know, I got you and everything, but you still got home, boy. You
know, exactly.
Leave you where you want. She really, that's that ride or die. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Since day one. And I can say I depended on her a lot throughout the years and not knowing how to hold it down, because as I had my father in the house, he wasn't there, but he was there. You know, he didn't teach me how to, hey, you got to handle it like this, like how you said the male model, role models in your life taught you. So me growing up, I had to learn certain things on my own. I had to do certain things on my own. So that's what kind of kept me down. And that's what kind of stemmed to my family as I have now, of me not being the man, the leader, you know, the best provider I needed to be. And that's why I see these young men now depending on the female and not doing what they need to do. They'll sit there and play the PS5 all day. Hey, I took out the trash. Is that good enough for you? Hey, I did the dishes for the first time in 2 weeks, you know, like, but a woman is looking for more than that. Mm-hmm. Not just a not a dishwasher. Mm-hmm. Do you see yourself as a passive man?
Passive
aggressive. Like, not passive. Like, just more passive about a lot of things. Like, okay, it's all right, but, you know, hey, just do this next time, please. Like, it's okay, you know. Like,
I let a lot of stuff. Look, you learn to choose your battles. As a man, that's important, and learn how to choose your battles. You know, I used to be very, I would say, overly aggressive with certain things. You know, not really knowing how to express myself properly, or express things I didn't like, which I'm still working on. I'm still working on how to express certain things I don't like. And you know, a lot of times, me personally, as a guy, I don't be feeling the need to address every little thing. You know, big things I address, you know, like, hey, we can't be doing that, or we're doing this. But for the most part, my family's on my programming. So I'm really sure, bro. I'm not really extra. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't say passive, though. Like, I'm not just letting stuff slide. You know what I mean? But
that's me. I'm not going to lie, man. I'll be passive a lot, because I'm like, I don't want to start the argument. Just, you know, do you. But
we have to learn, though, as men, right, in general. You said something that was powerful earlier. A lot of us grow up, we can't cry. We don't learn how to emotionally regulate ourselves. We don't really learn how to communicate. Because when we try to communicate as a child, you a child, stay in a child's place. Who are you talking to? Shut your mouth.
Those things. Yep.
So we never learn in our adolescence how to emotionally regulate and articulate our emotions. We have a very low level of emotional intelligence. That's not any of our faults. That's just, you know, I always like to tell parents, did the best they could. But, you know, at a time, like I always recommend brothers to get psychologist or a therapist.
A
counselor. Mm-hmm. Like, I have a counselor, you know, it's kind of showing me how to articulate myself. You know, because that's not a skill that black men get. We don't get that skill growing up.
We don't
get the luxury of learning how to emotionally articulate ourselves, you know what I mean? So it's something that when we get older, we have to learn how to do, because what ends up happening is that's where that whole suffering and silence thing comes from. We don't know how to articulate ourselves, so we just don't say anything at all for the sake of argument, right? And, you know, a lot of times the women, they know how to articulate themselves, so when we're trying to say a certain thing, we may say it wrong.
Yeah.
Or we don't express it in a way where they can understand, and they may brush it off unknowingly.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna say they do it purposely, but sometimes we just don't articulate it in a way for them to understand exactly what we're feeling or going through, you know. So we have to learn. That's a skill.
Mm-hmm.
Emotional intelligence is something you have to learn. You know what I'm saying? So that's something that, you know, I'm still working on. I know a lot of brothers are still working on how to express ourselves emotionally. Mm-hmm. Because we have those emotions, and it's okay to have those emotions. And we don't have to be stoic all the time. Because there's certain things that may trigger us, there's certain things that may upset us, frustrate us, and we have to learn how to articulate those things in a way that can be accepted without feeling like we're attacking. Because it can come off that way a lot as a man, because you're a man, you're scary, you're a scary black man. Even our women have that subconsciously in their mind, you're a scary black man, and when you say something sternly, or you may inflect your voice higher, like you're attacking. And that also turns men off from communicating. So when we do sometimes try to communicate ourselves, it may be in the heat of the moment, and then it's deemed as us being aggressive, and then when we hear that, we immediately shut off. Like, okay, well, I'm just not going to say nothing at all. But that's not a good way to live, because that is detrimental to your mental health, bro. That's where depression comes from.
Anxiety,
that feeling of being stuck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So
that's where it comes from. So we got to learn how to articulate ourselves emotionally, and it helps, bro. I had a couple articles that my counselor sent me, and it helps, bro. But I choose my battles. I wouldn't say I'm passive, but I also wouldn't just say I'm confrontational. You know, kind of try your battles.
And stuff like that keeps us from being the man that we need to be. That gives, like, we slack a lot when we don't know how to communicate or release our emotions the right way. So then that gives the woman, you know, the way to look at us a certain type of way, that we're not on our job as men. We're not listening. We're not communicating the right way. It's because of growing up, you couldn't really communicate. You couldn't really talk as a man or a boy. You had to sit and listen and stop crying, wipe the tears, and keep moving. And that's what I'm learning now as a parent with my son. I can't be hard on him all the time. I can't do that all the time because of how I was raised. I got to raise him like that. And, you know, that's how they grow up dysfunctional.
And emotionally unavailable.
Exactly.
These toxic relationships that they continue to, because that was me. You know, emotionally unavailable. I really don't have no feelings. I'm not showing you nothing. I'm not giving you nothing. But this
is yeah, exactly.
And it leads to toxic relationships. You got to be able to express yourself and communicate as a man.
So it did, like, did this now with this one here, security and stability. Now, as I see in our culture, the Blacks, Hispanics, Native American culture, that we can have security. Yes, we can be the best protector in the world. Yeah, we got ARs and AKs and nines, but are we doing the right thing stability wise?
So stability could be a lot of ways, mental stability, emotional stability, physical stability, financial stability.
That's the main one. Yeah. Financial stability. They don't care about nothing else, but it got to be that's financial stability.
Yeah, that's what we tend to focus on, man. And financial stability is definitely important. Like the scripture said, money answereth all things. So
yes,
you got to have some bread, bro, to live. That's just how life is set up. You got to have to operate in this world that we live in. But You have to make, I'll try to look at life from a holistic perspective. Everything has to be in alignment, or other things start to falter.
Mm-hmm.
Your whole life's not in alignment. If your relationship's out of whack, it don't matter that you got financial stability. Your finances are going to start teetering and deteriorating, because let's look at it this way. You into it with your wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y'all going into it all the time. You always at the liquor store getting the bottle, $60 every day. Then you look at your account. Whoa, I spent $300 this week on liquor. I like to tell brothers to look at things from a holistic perspective and make sure everything is in alignment. But financial stability is very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't have any money, you can't have a house. You can't be that provider.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to be for your family. You know, you can't pay for school clothes, school shoes, school
books. Mm-hmm.
Toiletries in our house, furniture, light bill, water bill.
True.
Internet bill for us to do the podcast.
gotta pay that Wi-Fi.
You gotta pay that Wi-Fi, man. So, financial stability is very, very, very important. I think what we lack in our community is financial literacy. Relationship with money is really bad. It's a documentary on YouTube called How to Sell the Negro.
Mm-hmm.
It was a documentary made in 1954, bro. And something the narrator said in the documentary was very powerful and stood out to me. He said that Negroes buy name brands, and they buy good quality clothes because they never had good clothes.
True.
So you get a little money, this is why you see the first thing Black and brown people do, they either go get a chain, they either go get a car, they either go get a grill, right? Or they start tripping off on women because they never had nothing.
True.
No good relationship with money, nor do we even know how money works. So that's why a lot of times we get in financial
debt.
We getting our finances always unstable because we have a bad relationship with money and we really don't understand money.
Sure.
So we need financial literacy courses in our community for free. We need people willing to sacrifice their time for our nation, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Get us back in alignment. You know, and it's just not too much of that going on. But financial stability is very important, but we got to learn finances first before we can get financially stable.
That's true. But, you know, school's not like, I spoke to my son the other day. I say, what you learning in school? He say they actually have a class on financial literacy. Mm-hmm. They're actually now starting to teach that in school. Yeah, that's real good. Like, me personally, man, I can go to Walmart, get me some shoes, and I'm good to go. I'm not at that age where I need Nikes all the time. Look, hold on, let me check. Where is that? What's this? I got this from Walmart. That's U.S. Polo. That's U.S. That ain't Ralph Lauren. That's U.S. So I don't care. I could make the clothes and the shoes look good. Mm-hmm. You know, like me and my wife was having a conversation and it was like security and stability. She was like, yeah, you can protect me all day. I know that. I see that. We've been together 16 years, married 16 years. So she knows that. But she was like, now the thing is financial and spiritual stability. Can you keep with? Because if you're not spiritually strong, then the family's gonna fall.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point. And this is where you see a lot of the crumbling happening in the family structure, is the lack of spiritual guidance and spiritual alignment. That's what the Bible says. Can two walk together unless they be agreed?
Okay.
Amos, the third chapter. And, you know, also Paul teaches us not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times when we lose, as men, our alignment with Christ,
mm-hmm.
that's when, like, it'd be secret stuff. It could be our pornography. It could be you're not praying. It could be you're not fasting.
Mm-hmm.
You're not reading. You know, like giving the Most High and His Son their due diligence
mm-hmm.
Out of your day, and then everything else starts to fall out of whack.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to be your Lord, your master is Christ.
As a man. Yeah.
So you have to appease Christ first for everything else to fall in line. You got to be in alignment with Christ first. You
got to
be forming yourself to his image every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Getting more Christ-like every single day. Because in 1 Corinthians 11, it says that we are the express image of God, the man. We are mm-hmm. the image of God and the woman the image of us. So if we're not walking in the image of God,
mm-hmm.
then the woman going to be walking in?
Kind of, that's true. That's true.
It's really just that simple. If you're not being Christ-like, you can't expect her to be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So fellas, this is what we're saying. As men, you got to be on your shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm speaking for myself too. I fell off a little bit, but I'm seeing and I'm working my way back to that. You know what I'm saying? Like, men, we got to be on our shit, spiritual, financial, in any way possible to make sure our family is not falling because of us. You know, and I've been through that a lot. Like, when it comes to stability, sometimes, if you really look at it, the man don't make as much as the woman. The man always get the job that pay less than the woman sometimes. Depending on how...
Not to cut you off.
No.
It's a study that black women are the most educated demographic
yes.
in the United States of America.
Yes. So
they're not dumb.
Mm-mm.
They're bringing in a lot of bread.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you got to understand, with the black women, the Spanish women, you know, our people, we got spies, we got agents, we got detectives, we got judges, we got all lawyers. And I'm not talking about profession. That's just who they are on the inside. You know what I'm saying? They smart. They know how to handle things. They know how to be a detective when they want to. They know how to be a spy when they want to. You know what I'm saying? So our women are not dumb. Our women are not crazy. They got it.
That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we got to start to enrich our women too and not be prideful as men and kind of cultivate
mm-hmm.
those skills that a woman have, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of times, I just saw some on social media the other day on why Nick Cannon and Mariah Carey broke up is because Nick Cannon couldn't muster the fact that Mariah Carey had a little bit more success.
Exactly.
Even mm-hmm. though she held him down during his lupus,
mm-hmm.
she wasn't putting him on blast. I mean, I don't remember anything
about
Mariah Carey in the Nick Cannon situation. Gave him children.
Mm-hmm.
He just couldn't get over his own ego.
Yeah, exactly. I said, this nigga stupid.
He just couldn't get over his own ego, bro. And that's a lot of times men, our problems is that we get in our own way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is why we need community as men. Specifically, mm-hmm. we need community amongst ourselves for us to have safe spaces
mm-hmm.
to come and talk to other brothers.
Right. Yeah.
Who have been there and done that and are able to give that positive reinforcement and that leadership and guidance. When we end up in those Nick Cannon situations where I start,
mm-hmm.
my ego starts puffing up.
Mm-hmm.
I can't take that my woman make more money than me. I can't take that she got more spotlight than me. You need an elder brother to be like, brother, that's your wife. Is she holding you?
True. Back?
Yes.
True.
She gave you children? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
She maintained a household? Yes. So what you tripping for, bro?
Yeah.
You need brothers who you respect
mm-hmm.
in your ear. To simmer you down as a man, because these things happen. We're human, bro. We're not perfect, and we're subject to vanity, bro.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta have those men in your corner who you can really lean on in those times when you, and not just in those cases, but any case where you feel weak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they can build you up and rejuvenate you and re-energize you and get your head screwed back on all the way.
I had a conversation with Rotazan sometime last month, right? So I'm like, yo, Rotazan, I need you on a, you know, podcast. He's like, all right, no problem. And he's like, what you up to? I say, you know, I lost my job and, you know, looking for another one. He say, so when you going to have another one? I say, I'm looking right now, but, you know, my wife holding me down. He was like, okay, she holding you down. Good. That's good. She holding you down. But you got to go ahead and get another job real quick. You know, I was like, oh, shit. I got you. You know, so him coming from him as a man, that was something good because he was like, all right, now you can't stay in your shit. Now you got to get up and get it. You know what I'm saying?
That's the epitome of being a man, bro. You got to keep it trucking if nobody else do.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of Sirach, right, just paraphrasing it, right, it says a woman who maintains her man is wroth. being angry. A woman is, God didn't create her
exactly
to hold it down.
Mm-hmm.
He just didn't do it. He didn't wire it that way, mentally, physically, or spiritually.
Yes.
When the roles are reversed, out of balance, then you start having issues. That's what we see. Forgive me. In today's society, we see out of balance and out of whack household structures. The woman is bringing the breadwinner, and it's okay that she's bringing in money.
Mm-hmm.
But she's the sole provider instead of the man.
Yeah.
So she don't respect you. That's essentially what Sarah teaches us. Like, your woman, I don't respect you, bro. You're going to have issues if she's the one that's being the leader and the provider and the protector.
Mm-hmm.
And the one that's providing security. You're going to run into problems, brother.
You're going to run into problems.
And we see that in our community today. That's why I say all the time, the Bible can fix it. The Bible can fix all of our problems in the black and brown community, bro.
Yeah.
It can fix our problems as men. If we conformed our image to Christ, like the Bible tells us to, we wouldn't have no more problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's true. That's why I can say like, are we on our game? Because as men, I see a lot of us aren't. A lot of us are not doing what we're supposed to do. A lot of us are slacking in those areas a lot, whether it's being a father, a husband, even right now, a lot of boyfriends. It's like even a boyfriend. And I'm not speaking on the women. The women don't even have anything to do with this conversation. Because from what I see, the women are the ones that's holding it down in this generation and the generation before that. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's why I feel like there should be a community for men to come to. Like, you know how the women have a book club. There should be a thing for men to come together, which I'm sure they are. But you don't hear a lot of people talking about it. Like, come together. Like, I was watching, I don't know if you ever heard of the show called The Shy. And so like it's a couple scenes that they have on there. The guy, he's running for mayor or whatever. He has this group that comes together and they sit in a circle and they talk about what's really going on with them. And I see a lot of us don't have that because we're afraid to express our emotions to another man, or sometimes even cry, because you know when men cry, we just like, you know, all right, man, yo, we good. Like, we just wipe it off and keep going. Mm-hmm. So that keeps us from being who we need to be and being on top of what we need to be on top of. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we should have a community based for that.
That's a fact. And we gotta create those safe spaces, bro. It's mm-hmm. We gotta create those spaces for our brothers to be able, you know, come to and be able to express what's going on with them, because a lot of times we're just dealing with broken young boys.
Mm-hmm.
See grown men who are being self-destructive, being toxic. That's just a boy who wasn't comforted, a little boy who got told to shut up when he was trying to express himself.
Yeah, man.
Right, a little boy that was molested. That's why he's hypersexual. You know, a little boy who didn't have his father in the home, which is why he's emotionally erratic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so once we start to be able to identify the root of the issue, see, a lot of times, even in the medical industry, right, just to give an example, we treat the symptoms,
mm-hmm.
not the root cause.
Yes, yeah.
Giving you those symptoms. So we have to, as men, start to address the elephants within our own selves,
mm-hmm.
in order for us to alleviate the symptoms that we feel in our lives, the toxic behavior, abusing our women, being hypersexual, being emotionally unavailable. Those are our symptoms to a deeper rooted problem that sometimes we too afraid to
get
an address. You know, that's why I always mm-hmm. recommend a counselor, you know, for our brothers, a man counselor, and preferably a black one. Mine is, he's great. He's amazing. He's actually in our faith. In our
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that makes it even easier. You know, it's mm-hmm. kind of crazy. I came in when my friend is on one time to one of our sessions. He was like, oh, shalom, brother. Oh, and I was like, oh, shalom, Doc. What's going on? you know, so it makes it, bro, 10 times better, bro. But we need to fix our mental health, this man, bro. We have to. We got to, because the women can only take so much, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true.
They can only take so much, fam. And just keeping it a buck, they can only take so much, bro.
Yeah, man.
Of our shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we put them through a lot of shit. I know I put them all through a lot of shit, especially mm-hmm. in the world. before I came into this walk of life, I was put ready to see the day. I'm not the same guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was wilding. I was wilding. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that fell on her. And a lot of that was because I had deeply rooted problems that I didn't address. I didn't start addressing them until I came into this walk. You know what I mean?
So
I
was
struggling with stuff at the beginning of this walk.
Mm-hmm.
Still struggling with things.
Mm-hmm.
Still haven't got past a couple of things that I need to work on. You know
what
I mean? But that's the beautiful thing about life, man. It's a
lifelong
journey.
Yeah.
Lifelong journey. Until you get up out of here, you have another day to correct your wrongdoings, to correct things that you don't like about yourself. You can wake up in the mirror and look at yourself every single day and say, hey, did I get 1% better
than I was
yesterday? And that's really my motto, man. Being 1% better than we were yesterday. But that really starts in my mind. Because where the mind goes, the body's going to follow.
So we got that's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah, man. And that's what leads us to be confident in ourselves. You know, once we're confident in ourselves, then we can complete, then we can, you know, move on and do certain things we need to take care of or try to do our best as men. Because if you're not confident in yourself, which I have a tough time sometimes with that I'm not confident in my ability to, hey, all right, this is what we need to do. This is this and that is that, because it's like I'm afraid to fail. I'm afraid to let my wife and my family down. So that confidence level is kind of hard for me to have in a way, but I'm trying to build that up at the same time.
And that's very interesting you said that, bro, because a lot of our young men, I'm just a naturally confident brother, but this goes back to my upbringing. I had strong men around my grandfather, who was a pastor. Permeating confidence all the time. A man when he walk in the room, a man you stand up for and you shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Same way. My father, the same way. My uncle, same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of our young men don't see that, and they don't get to experience that, and they don't get the training that they need at a young age. You have to train confidence, bro. It's not, some people have it, they're born.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times you got to teach that. You got to teach a young boy how to stand up with his chest out,
mm-hmm.
look him in his eyes when you shake his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You got to teach a young boy when y'all out eating, when he giving his order, hey, say aloud, say with your chest.
Yeah.
You got to teach these behaviors. You got to teach, hey, pick up your feet when you walk. Stop dragging your feet.
Yes, man, I can't stand it.
You know what I'm saying? You got to teach a young man, hey, stop putting your hands in your pockets. Take your hands out of your pockets when you talk. These things, these things have to be taught, but because of the absence of the father, they never get that.
Exactly.
You got to teach a young boy, hey, pull up your pants and put a belt on. Tuck your shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You have to teach these behaviors. Otherwise, you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have those fatherless children. They become adults.
Yeah, man.
And that's what we see now. It's disturbing. When I go out and I go do community activism in the community, I go out and teach where I'm doing flyer duty or whatever I may be doing. I'm seeing men with their pants on the ankles.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
I'm seeing men who can't look me in my eyes when I'm talking to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they're hyper-aggressive as soon as I walk up on them. Hey, what's up, King? Hey, what the fuck is you, nigga?
Yeah.
Peace, God.
Yeah. That's it, man.
But these things come from them not having a strong meal. And those are insecurities.
Exactly.
They don't understand that they're insecure.
Yeah.
Brothers like ourselves, who's been there, who's done that, we can see, brother, you're just insecure. I love you, bro. What's up? I just want to chat with you, bro. I want to show you that you're a king. Let me see if I can change, if I can plant a seed in you that hopefully the most I can give increase to.
Exactly.
Do that for you.
You
know, because we need that. I've seen grown men cry when they get this understanding, bro. Like, what? This is... You know, it's life changing, bro. And this is where we come in, that we're gonna have children that grow up who don't know all of the experiences that you and I are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're doing the proper due diligence within ourselves to make sure that we raise up a generation of trauma-less
children. Yeah.
So that we can start to fix our community and fix our nation. Because we got some deep rooted trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Needs to be addressed within our community, and it starts with us. We got to do the shadow work in ourselves for us to raise up those kids so that they can raise up children that are better than we are.
That's true, man. A lot of our young brothers don't know who the Most High is. You know, they scream that, you know, they believe in God, but do they really believe in God? Do they believe in the Most High? You know, do they believe in the Father and His Son? Like, do they actually do it? And then when I try to speak to somebody younger than me, it's like they want to hear it, but then at the same time, they don't want to hear it, you know, because they want to continue to live life the way they want to live. You know, they want to depend on a person. Like, I see a lot of young dudes always depending on a person instead of trying to go out there and get it on their own. You know, when I was 17, I tried to get money any way as possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would save up my money that my grandfather would give me for school just so I know if I need to go out, I got money stashed so I can go ahead and take that and do what I need to do. You know, so and a lot of brothers don't have that. A lot of young brothers don't have that, you know, even older brothers. So it's like our generation has a job to do to teach the younger generation or the generation coming up to be who we need to be. You know, so I say it's hard now than it was before.
Yeah, that's why I tell I can't remember who I was having a conversation with. It was one of the brothers. But I was talking to them. I can't remember who I was talking to. But I was telling them, like, if that serious shift was going to happen, it would have happened back in the day. It would have happened with Malcolm, Martin, Marcus Garvey.
Yeah,
it would
yeah.
happen with one of them brothers because they actually cared. Like, people in general, you know, they actually cared about the community as a as a collective. They had an affinity for one another and a love for one another and underlying respect for one another. And now we can get it there. It takes a lot of effort, but ultimately Christ is going to be the one that's going to have to set us in order, because we're just at a place now where the social engineering is too strong. And our minds are too gone. You know what I'm saying? I kind of feel like when I look at our people, we kind of like it, that unrighteous generation who did Joshua and Judges. You know, every man just did according to his own will. That's kind of where I feel like we are as a community right now. But we can do our job in getting one brother, one sister, one child at a time, and slowly making those changes to our community. But we definitely got to put in the footwork. We have to do it. Nobody else is going to do it for us. We have to do it. The kingdom of heaven is within us. So we have the ability to materialize the reality we want to see today, but we got to go do the work.
Exactly. Exactly. So fellas, men, boys, teenagers out there, whoever's watching this, we sat here and we spoke today about how men are, how boys are, and where it stems from. So it's up to us now. If we have a family, if we don't have a family, or if we do plan to have a family later, it's up to us as men to build our family, to sustain our family, and hold our family down. It's not up to the woman anymore, because the woman did what she had to do. And remember, it says in the Bible, the woman is your helpmate, not the man of the house. And trust me, I had to learn that along the way myself, you know. And with my brother Shire being here today and just giving those jewels that he did was crazy, because I came from a different background. He came from a different background. So our backgrounds weren't the same. You know, I didn't have those role models to teach me, to show me. I had to learn everything on my own, and me learning everything on my own, it got in the way sometimes. So we want you to be that man. We want you to have that confidence in yourself, to build yourself up and hold it down. That's what we're here for. We're here to hold it down. That's why we're the stronger vessel. And, you know, we got to do what's right. We have to do what's right. We have to show our sons, if we have sons, and we have to show our daughters what man they want to marry and be with for the rest of their lives. So with that being said, my brother Shia, do you have any last words for the men out there?
Yeah, for the men, my closing remarks will be to you is be the change, be the physical embodiment of the change you want to see in your community.
Yeah.
You be that first. You be a walking example of what you want to see in your community. You want to be that leader. You want to be that provider. You want to be that scholar in your community that people come to when they have questions. You want to be that general in your community. You be that example first and start doing the work to get there. And then you'll see just by you becoming that example, you want to see that everything around you will change, your whole reality will change. Okay. As the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, his mind, so is he.
All praises. All praises. Any shout outs you want to give out?
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to my boy Monica Shaw for having me. Praise to the Most High. I'm blessed and I'm honored to be on your podcast. I'm honored that you even thought of me to have me on here, man. So I appreciate you.
No problem.
Love this brother. Great brother indeed. Shout out my wife, my children. Shout out to BOW.
Yo.
To our YouTube channels, Believers of the Way, Hebrew Ethics, Believers of the Way Dallas, Believers of the Way Bay Area. Go subscribe to our YouTube channels and subscribe to my boy Cousin and Cuzzo. This is going to be a very, very powerful platform. So all praise to the Most High for putting on the spirit to create this. And again, thank you for having me.
No pressure. No, I want to give a shout out to my brother Shai for, you know, taking the time to be here. This is not the last time you will see him on here. You know, this was a very good conversation, so I will be having him on again. I have to. You know, I'd like to get a shout out to BOW, you know what I'm saying, all branches of BOW, you know what I'm saying. A shout out to Yaz the Jew. If you need your grills done, if you top the bottom, back to front, go ahead and holler at Yaz the Jew. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to my boy Q the Jew, her husband. You know what I'm saying? His music is streaming on YouTube right now. If you want to go listen to it, you know, go ahead and look up Q the D-A Jew. You know what I'm saying? And just Shia, just thank you for being here. Thank you for taking the time out. You know what I'm saying? It's all love on this end, bro. Me and this guy. Yeah. Hey, man, we got to link up, man. We got to link up. We got to do that, man.
We gonna get something. Look, if it ain't a feast day or whatever, hey, we just gonna have to make it work. Meet in the middle somewhere.
Come on, man. Gotta meet in the middle somewhere, man. Yeah. So this has been the first episode with the Shire of Cuzzo and Cuzzo. I'd like to thank everybody out there for at least tuning in, even just watching half of it. I thank you for it. You know, with that being said, Shalom. Me when I opened that book, I saw my decree. Learn from the best, so I saw Joe. Drop to my knees, now I'm prayer mode. Taking all these hits, home runner, being dragged through the mud, forerunner. Things went wrong, I rebuke God.